Good morning, everyone. We're thankful for your presence with us in the Lord's house on this lovely Sabbath morning. We're glad to see all that have gathered. Let me just remind you of the words of the psalmist in the Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. So may we all be able today to remember the multitude of the Lord's mercy towards us, and may give us help to worship him today in godly fear, and let us approach him with awe and with reverence as we enter into his house today. The Psalm 103, we're going to sing the opening seven verses together. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. So the 103rd Psalm, the first seven verses, it's six verses that we'll sing in all, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Just bow together in prayer. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. We'll take time just to settle our hearts as we enter into the Lord's presence. Think of the words of that fifth verse, the opening couple of lines that remind us of the Lord's bountiful provision, who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth. It's good to take the time just to remember the Lord's great provision for us, both practically, but especially spiritually, how the Lord has provided even for our souls. So let's seek the Lord together. Father, we come into your presence, thankful that we can pray. Forgive us, Father, that we haven't prayed as we should. We pray for a greater desire to pray, to call upon your name. We ask, Father, that we that know the Lord would ever be men and women of prayer. We pray that we'll pray without ceasing. We ask, Father, that we would always be those that bring everything to thee in prayer. We want to thank you today for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for that precious blood of the Saviour. We rejoice in the greatness of his love and mercy that he was willing to lay down his life and to shed his blood for the salvation of our souls. We thank you, Father, today for the knowledge that the blood has been applied. We're glad that our sins have been washed and cleansed. We thank you for the power of that blood, that it's able to cleanse us from all sin. We rejoice that it's the incorruptible blood. We thank you for the blood of Christ, our Saviour, that he presented for us in heaven. It's the blood of sprinkling, the book of Hebrews tells us, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. We think of our Saviour as he speaks and prays and intercedes. The Word of God tells us he ever lives to make intercession for us. But we rejoice that the blood speaks for us in heaven, that it speaks peace and that it speaks pardon to our souls. We rejoice, Father, that that blood keeps on cleansing us. We're conscious of the times that we have failed thee and sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed. But you've assured us that if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, it is for that cleansing anew and afresh that we would pray for and cry for, even at the outset of this service this morning, that as we enter into your presence, Father, that our hearts might be right before thee, that there would be no sin upon our hearts. You've said that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, that you will not hear us. And Lord, we do not want there to be any hindrance in answer to the prayers of the Lord's people, even as they ascend up before thee today. Guide us in our prayers and our petitions. Guide us, Father, in this service this morning. Guide us through this day. And Lord, we want to ask too that you'll guide us through every day of this week. We're conscious, Father, that we've not been this way heretofore. We know not what lies ahead. We all have plans that are made for this incoming week, for the various days, plans for our families. But Lord, we do not know what events that will arise. Your word says we know not what evil will be upon the earth. We do not know what will arise in this incoming week that will change our plans and prevent them from taking place. So we want, Father, just to commit ourselves to thee, praying you'll be with us every day, praying for the mind and the will of God, praying that you'll guide us, Father, very clearly in all that we would do. We want to pray, Father, that our lives and our testimonies will stand out clearly for the Saviour in this incoming week. Lord, we think of the darkness around us, the spiritual wickedness, but we pray, Father, that our lives would be bright and shining for the Master. We pray that others will take knowledge of us, others will see that difference that there is in our lives and testimonies. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll use us during this week, especially, Father, may we be used as a witness. You've said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. We ask for many opportunities during this week just to be a witness for the Master. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. We want to praise thee today for all that are gathered. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship at the beginning of a new week. We're glad that we're here present in your house. Thank you, Father, for all that are present. Thank you for enabling some to be back today that have been unwell just in recent weeks. Thank you for their presence with us, mindful of some that are still absent from our midst today. Lord, be near to them. Grant them the strengthening touch of God. We want, fathers, we've sought to intercede for others already in this meeting. We pray for the families of this church. Bless our families. We pray that you'll keep our families, keep them near to thee and going on with thyself. Bless the children of our families and of our congregation. Thank you for them, each one. Praise thee for their presence in the house of God with us today. Remember that the disciples rebuked those that brought the little ones to the Savior, but he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And he took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. And Father, we would ask that the Savior might do the same today for the children, the little ones of our congregation, especially on this Lord's Day when we're thinking so much about the children and the children's works and the meeting tonight and the parents' night. Lord, bless the children. Make them a blessing in our midst this evening. May the leaders and workers be blessed and be encouraged to think of their neighbours amongst them. Remember the programme that has been prepared. We ask for your hand to be upon it. Pray you'll speak tonight through the children. We want to ask that you'll bring out a good number of relatives and friends and neighbours. Lord, we want to pray that there'll be those in the meeting tonight that are out of Christ, that they'll be brought to this place under the sound of the gospel. Just put your hand upon that meeting in a very clear and definite way. We ask thee to use the children's works of the church here. We ask thee, Father, to use them not just to win the children, but even through the children to win the families to Christ. And we pray, Father, that you'll have mercy upon the homes and the families of this city and this community of ours. We want to see whole families brought to Christ, just as it was in Philippi, when the word of God tells us that the jailer believed with all his house. Oh God, do the same. We pray for the changing, the transforming by the power of the gospel of homes and of entire family circles. Lord, do remember the need, especially in the Ukraine at this time. We can see your hand at work in the circumstances there. And we want to pray, Father, for a complete end of that war and hostility. We pray you'll confound the Russian government, the Russian army, the Russian leadership. Remember what you did in the days of Esther, that all that Haman did resulted in his downfall. And Lord, we pray that it might be the same even in this situation. We ask thee to hear our cries. We know that you're the Almighty, that nothing is too hard for thee. Remember, Father, the church, the Lord's people in Ukraine and also in Russia, those neighboring countries too, round about. We think of the great humanitarian crisis that has resulted. Lord, have mercy upon all in great need. We thank you for the aid that has been sent in. Prosper the way, Father, of all that are seeking to give support and to bring in aid to help those in great need at this time. And Lord, we ask thee to touch all our hearts, even in these very dire circumstances. So hear our cries now, Father. Abide with us. We ask just that the Lord's hand will be upon the meeting today, upon both of these meetings. May we know the touch of God in a very clear way upon both services held in your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turning to the Word of God, please. I want to read from four different places. I encourage you to turn with us. They're short readings. We're turning first of all to Mark 14. All of the readings today are about the young man Mark that we are studying just at this time. Mark 14, the verse 46. We'll read down just to the end of verse 52. So Mark 14, the 46th verse, it says, and they laid their hands on him and took him, And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Just to highlight a couple of things for you before we turn to another portion. Verse 50 tells us they all forsook him and fled. Sometimes the emphasis is put on the fact of Peter's denial. But remember what is clearly recorded, not just here but in other places. All the disciples, all the apostles forsook the Savior at the time of his arrest. It's especially verses 51 and 52. There followed him a certain young man. Can't be said with definiteness who the young man was. If you take the time, and I encourage you to do that, remember the importance of personal study of the Word of God. Take time to read what the other commentators have to say upon the portion. One of the suggestions that is given is that the young man was Mark himself, the one that, under inspiration, was the author of this gospel record. There followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. The idea of the picture is that he had heard the news of what was happening, and it's nearly as if he had just got out of bed and had run out into the city, run down to the street. He had a love for the Savior, and he'd come just with his, we might say, his pajamas on, his nightdress, having his linen cloth cast about his naked body. So just to highlight that for you, I've mentioned to you in the study already the various portions, the various ways in which Mark is mentioned and how he's, the names that are given to him in the scriptures. So I want to highlight those verses 51 and 52, at least one of the suggestions as to who that young man was the young man Mark. If you turn over to the book of Colossians a little further in the New Testament scriptures, the book of Colossians, and it's the chapter 4, the final chapter, and the verse 10, let me just highlight it for you. Colossians 4, verse 10. Paul mentions often those that are traveling with him, those that are laboring with him. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas. Remember, we emphasized last week in the first point the relation, the famous relation that Mark had. So this is the reference where that is very clearly stated. Colossians 4 and 10. Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas. So it's a reference to Barnabas and his sister and his sister's child. So Barnabas was the uncle. He says, touching whom ye have received commandments, if he come, now this has been said now about Mark, if he come unto you, that is, if he comes to the church there at Colossae. Remember that Colossae was in the region of Laodicea, in what is now modern Turkey, the same region as the seven churches of Asia Minor mentioned in the book of the Revelation. So he says, if he come, if Mark comes unto you, receive him. So that's a very significant instruction, and we'll highlight that in the message this morning. If you go over to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, Paul's second letter to young Timothy. Remember, this is the last letter that Paul wrote under inspiration before his death, 2 Timothy 4. So one of the last things, Mark, or that Paul wrote about, had to do with young Mark. He says, only Luke is with me, 2 Timothy 4 and 11. Only Luke, the beloved physician, is with me. And then he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And I'll highlight for you the significance of that statement just a little later. So one final verse, if you could turn over a couple of pages further to the book of Philemon. Remember, there's just one chapter in the book of Philemon. And almost at the end of the book, almost at the end of the letter, verse 24, notice the first name in verse 24. In verse 23, he mentions Epaphras as a fellow prisoner. And here he's mentioning fellow laborers. So in verse 24, he says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and that of course is Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So we'll end just our readings at that place this morning, the end of the little letter of Philemon. And we pray the Lord will be pleased to add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We take the opportunity to bid you all earnest word of welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're thankful for the sunshine, and we're thankful for the springtime and all the encouragement that that gives to us. We welcome you all. It's good to see a good number gathered for the Sabbath morning service. We thank the children and the young people for their presence. Thank you for your attendance at Sunday school and Bible class as well, a little earlier. We thank all that are joining us on the live stream, especially those members of our congregation through ill health that are not able to be present with us at the meetings today. Keep in mind tonight, the special service, 6:30 this evening, our gospel meeting. Remember that the half hour of prayer, I want to emphasize that, the importance of gathering at 6 o'clock for the prayer time. Tonight is the parents' night and the prize giving for both the children's bright hours, both here in the church and also down in Killaloe. The children will be taking part for us in the service this evening. We want to encourage you to come, and we encourage you to come and give your support to the meeting this evening, give your support to the children's work and to all of the workers, all of the leaders that are involved in that. And as you come this evening, we encourage you to bring others. Mention that meeting to your family and encourage them to come along. If you haven't been in the habit of coming out to the evening service in recent weeks or months, maybe as a result of the COVID, that habit has been broken or changed. I want to emphasize the importance just of gathering on the evening of the Lord's Day and the gospel service too. We'd be very glad, very encouraged by your support with us tonight. Tuesday, the Killaloe Bright Hour are travelling to Gulliver's here in the Orchard Leisure Centre, and then they're going to the Kentucky Fried Chicken afterwards. The bus is leaving the band hall at 6 o'clock, and it's returning again in around 8:30. Wednesday night at 8 is the midweek service, the prayer meeting and Bible study. The Lord willing, I'll be here to lead and to preach at that meeting myself. Then on Friday night, it's the youth meeting at 8 o'clock. And as the season's drawing near to a close, the young people are having a barbecue and a bring a friend night this coming Friday evening. So remember that, young people. All of the young people of the church, even if you haven't been attending through the weeks of the winter months, you'd be very welcome along at the barbecue and the Bring a Friend night this coming Friday evening. The service is next Lord's Day, the 10th of April. The Sunday school and the Bible classes at 10:40. The morning service at 11:30. Just to highlight for you, there will be communion after the morning meeting next Lord's Day. The session felt it would be a good time as Easter approaches for us to recommence or reintroduce the communion service. The men will be wearing masks and gloves for the serving of the elements. The bread's going to be in a little sealed container. The wine will be in the disposable cups. And we want to encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to stay. We would be very pleased about that. If you prefer to wait until a later time to participate at the Lord's table, we do understand that very much just in the current circumstances and as we're still coming out of the crisis. But as many of the Lord's people as feel they are able, we would invite you to wait behind next Sabbath morning for the communion service. The evening meeting is at 6:30 in the evening, the half hour of prayer before. God willing, I'll be preaching at both of those meetings myself. To highlight for the ladies, we're going to have a meeting for the ladies. That's on Monday the 16th of May, downstairs in the church hall. The speaker is going to be our sister, Miss Noreen McAfee. The ladies will remember that just before the lockdown, you had a little project raising money for the school in Uganda, and the mission board had sent down some pens to be distributed and so on for the ladies. So we'll be able to bring that little project to complete conclusion, God willing. That night we felt it would be appropriate for Miss McAfee, when she's home on furlough, to come along and to speak. So that'll be a night of fellowship for the ladies just before the summertime. We encourage the ladies to note the date and to make it known to your family and friends. Encourage them to come. That's Monday, the 16th of May at 8 o'clock. Just to highlight some recent gifts and offerings, the total for the Mission Board's Ukraine appeal is £1,095.69. The committee decided to add another £500 to that total because of the needs, the crisis there just at this time. So that would make almost £1,600 that was sent off to the Mission Board at this time as a congregation. The offering that was taken a few Wednesday nights ago for every home crusade, that currently stands at £1,756. And then a further £200 came in for the Nepal radio station. So I want to thank you all sincerely for what is obviously very generous giving to a number of very needy causes by the members of the congregation. Here on behalf of the committee, we express our sincere appreciation to you. Just a matter that came as a result of Presbytery meeting in Martyrs on Friday night past. Our young brother, Mr. Matthew Higgins, and you know there's the connection with the Gardner family, with our brother Matthew to the congregation here. Matthew, in recent weeks, received a call from the Limavady congregation, and at the Presbytery on Friday night past, our brother accepted that call. We're very delighted for Matthew that the Lord has opened the door of ministry and the door of service for him. His ordination and installation is planned for the end of this month, for Friday night, the 29th of April. A venue hasn't been decided upon yet. It would be important to have a venue where they can live stream that service, particularly thinking of Matthew's family in Australia that would want to be a part of the meeting and would want to be able to watch and attend in that manner. So once the venue has been settled upon, we'll make that known to you. But Friday the 29th of April, as a congregation, we want to wish Matthew and Leanne and little Joel God's richest blessing for their future labours, their future ministry. And we want to commend them to you just at this important time for your continued prayers to be upon them. The Easter Convention will be taking place, we did highlight a few weeks ago, the Friday night and the Monday night. The speaker on the Friday night is to be the Reverend Ian Harris, the chairman of the Mission Board. Remember, there's always the missionary and youth emphasis. So there will be missionary reports, youth reports as well on the Friday evening. The moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, is going to be preaching on the Monday evening. If there is a reasonable number that's interested in going down on the Friday night, the church will put on a bus. That will be for the youth fellowship and also anyone else in the congregation who would like to go down on the Friday night. So there is a list in the porch. If you would like to go on the bus, please put your name on the list as soon as possible, and then we'll be able to gauge just the interest that there is. We do recommend that anybody that's going down on the bus that evening wears a mask in the bus just for the duration of the journey. So keep the Easter Convention meetings in mind. We'll put the advertisements for those up just at an appropriate time for you to see. Just a couple of matters relating to LTBS. We're to be involved in some TV recordings for LTBS on Thursday night, the 28th of April, over in the Lurgan Church. They will be sending us a sheet for a list of names. Remember, as was the case previously, they like folk from the congregation. If the minister of that church is preaching at the recordings, for some folk from the congregation to come, if they're able just to help make up the congregation for the recording. So they will be sending us over the appropriate sheet for that. We'll put that out, the list for the names. If you can come to form part of the congregation that night, that would be a great help. They have found it a little bit of a challenge getting adequate numbers for the congregations post-COVID. So if you could come, be assured that LTBS would appreciate that very much. But we'll put the list out as soon as we receive it, and we'll highlight that for you. But that's Thursday night, the 28th of April. LTBS is also opening a new charity shop. Remember, they've had the charity shop now for a few years in Banbridge. The new shop's going to be opened here in the city of Armagh. It's going to be in Thomas Street, where Shoe Zone used to be. They're planning to open the new shop around the middle of this month, if all the plans fall into place. Mrs. Cherie Patterson, the wife of the Reverend Andrew Patterson from the Market Hill Church, Mrs. Patterson manages the shop in Banbridge. She's going to do the same with a little bit of assistance here in Armagh. They're making an appeal for volunteers. They have a number of folk that volunteer and help with the shop in Banbridge. So if you would like to volunteer for an hour or so every week, let us know about that, and we can pass your name and your details on to Mrs. Patterson, and she can get in touch with you just in due course. But do keep that matter in your prayers as well. Pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon it. Do continue to remember our dear sister, Mrs. Watson, just in your prayers, that she'll know the Lord's presence, grace, just at this time. And remember the family too. The Lord will continue to uphold them and undertake and guide them through these challenging days. We're going to come to another hymn together. It's the words of the hymn 437, Hymn of Challenge, thinking particularly of missionary work, and that will be a part of our study this morning. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. So 437, please, and we'll stand as we sing. just pray together. Father, we ask thee to remember our brother, Mr. Matthew Higgins. We thank you for the door of service that you've opened for him in Limavady, for the guiding hand of God in the life of the congregation and also in our brother's life. Remember Leanne, little Joel too. We commit them to thee at this time. We pray for your guidance and help in all the plans. We cry for your blessing upon that special night. We pray, Father, for your blessing to be clearly seen upon our brother's ministry there. Our prayer is that you'll use him mightily in coming days. We ask thee to send other laborers. We think of the needs in our vacant congregations across the land just at this time. We ask thee, Father, to send more students into the college. Remember the students as they approach examination time again. Give them the wisdom that is needed. Remember LTBS, Father. We remember this new venture here in the city. We pray for help to be given. Pray for the provision of God. Pray for all the workers that will be needed. We pray, Father, that that this venture will be used not just in the raising of funds for the radio and the TV work, but even as an outreach in the city here and winning souls. Bless the TV recordings at this time and the needs there, Father. We pray for help to be given to the recording teams. We pray for enough folk to be able to attend all the recording sessions, that important aspect just of the service and of the recording itself. Pray, Father, that you'll use the messages as they go forth, even all across the earth. We ask that there might be a mighty harvest of souls. So we're praying, Lord, be with us now. Give us the heart even of which we have been singing, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. Give us ears that are ready to hear your voice, a heart, Father, that's ever receptive and submissive to the will of God. Give us grace to do those things, Father, that you've called us to. And our prayer is that your blessing very clearly will rest and be evident upon all our lives and all our service. Answer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The Acts of the Apostles, the 12th chapter, I want to highlight just three verses for you at the outset. Acts 12, look at the end of the chapter, the 24th, the 25th verse of Acts 12 says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned." This is them returning from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they're going back to Antioch and Syria. And it says they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So that's the first record that we have of this young man being involved in Paul and Barnabas' missionary team. And then if you look at verse 5 of the next chapter, it says, "When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John," and that's John Mark, "they had also John to their minister." And then if you look at the 13th verse, chapter 13, verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Remember, we're looking at the life of young John Mark. We were engaged in that study last Sabbath morning. We weren't able to finish it. The theme or the title is "The Man Who Left His Mark for God." Let me highlight for you just again that just twice in the New Testament records he's called Mark. Three times he's called John Mark. On two occasions he's called just John on its own. And three times you'll find the same man called Marcus. and that's the Latin form of the name Mark. I highlighted for you that the name Mark, one of the meanings that's given to it is a large hammer, which may seem a little strange. It's certainly an interesting definition of his name, but it gives you a clear picture of how his life was used of God. A large hammer leaves its mark. It leaves its imprint. And that's the sort of life that Mark lived, despite the faltering steps that we'll make mention to this morning, despite the mistakes that he made in his early Christian service. He was a man that left his mark, left his imprint for God in this world and in this life. And that's a challenge, brethren and sisters, to all of our hearts. We did highlight his relation. He had a very famous uncle in Barnabas, the man that's mentioned here in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas, that first great missionary team. We talked a little about his habitation, the home in which he grew up. His mother was wealthy, as was his uncle. Remember, his uncle gave the money that he got for the land that he sold to the work of the church. And young Mark's mother gave her home, dedicated her home for the use of the church. That's where the church assembled for prayer. But not only was it a wealthy home, it was a godly home. His mother loved the Lord, set him a good example. We thought as well about his conversion. Remember, young people, he was converted at a young age, converted as a young man. We want to encourage you, as we're emphasizing the young people today, especially the meeting tonight, we want to encourage you to come to Christ early in life. And remember, too, that he came to Christ through the Apostle Peter. Peter described him as Marcus, my son. So that's a reference to Mark being Peter's son in the faith. He had the joy and the privilege of leading the young man to the Lord. The final thing we looked at last Sunday was his supplication. Because in Acts 12, that was the first place we meet this young man. And we met him in the prayer meeting. And what a challenge that is to every Christian in the meeting today. Young people in the prayer meeting, young Mark, young Rhoda, an example for the young men, an example for the young women. And you remember the challenge we left you with last Sunday morning. Do we ever meet you, believer? Do we ever meet you, dear child of God, in the prayer meetings of this church? The fifth thing I'll highlight about this young man is his vocation. Mark's vocation, or his calling, was one to missionary work. As I've highlighted in chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas set out on the first great missionary journey, Mark, this young man, was part of that missionary team. We're told there at the end of verse 5, chapter 13, and they had also John to their minister. He's serving his time as a missionary. He's like the attendant of these two great servants of the Lord. But think of the privilege, think of the opportunity for this young man to go on such a journey, to be part of such a missionary team, to be a co-laborer with these eminent servants of the Lord, and have the opportunity to be mentored in the work of God and the Christian life by two such preachers as Paul and Barnabas. But sadly, brethren and sisters, our next glimpse of Mark is a very disappointing one, to say the least, because Mark left the mission team. Mark left the mission field. I highlighted for you there in the 13th verse, we're told, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And also, a little later in chapter 15, I highlighted for you last week, he went not with them to the work. So what that means, brethren and sisters, is the ploughman looked back. The young man who was so full of promise, he failed Paul and Barnabas. The life and work of a missionary. It wasn't what he expected. The work was too challenging. The accommodation wasn't comfortable enough. Remember, he was brought up in an affluent home. So this young man returned home from the mission field, returned back to Jerusalem again. So what a disappointment. What a disappointment that must have been on this first great missionary journey to these two great pioneer missionaries. But you know, brethren and sisters, there's a great lesson that we learn here, and it's this. There will always be disappointments in God's work. Always. Paul and Barnabas experienced disappointments. Just think of it. The first great missionary journey, setting out with such vision, such promise. Paul and Barnabas experienced disappointments, and so will you. And remember that many people left the Savior during his earthly ministry as well. And yes, many. That's not an exaggeration. John 6 records, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So I want to stress it to you, brethren and sisters. There's always disappointments in God's work. What do you do at such a time? Well, that's a good question. Well, the answer's clear. You keep on with the work. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? We're to be steadfast. We're to be unmovable. We're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. If you think of William Carey, the missionary to India, remember his famous statement, I plod on. And that's what we're to do, even in difficult times. Whatever the problem, whenever there's times of disappointments that come, the Lord wants us to keep at the work. So I say to you today, don't let the devil divert you. Don't let the devil stop you in your work and in your labors for the Lord. So that's a little about his vocation. Think of his restoration. Because sadly, not only did Mark leave the mission field and return home, but later he was also the cause of a very sad dispute and separation between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was ever the encourager. He wanted to take Mark on the next missionary journey, but Paul was opposed to the idea. And as a result, those two great missionaries separated from each other. This is what the record actually says. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So the two great missionaries separated from each other. And what a warning, brethren and sisters, to all of us about how we live. Young Mark, this young man, he was the cause of breaking up the greatest missionary team the world has ever known. But the good news is this. That wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of his service. Mark was restored to the Lord's service again. And he labored in such a way that he received a very clear, a very strong commendation from the Apostle Paul himself. I read those verses to you earlier. Let me just highlight them for you again. Paul writing to the Colossians, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom ye have received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. So Paul wasn't hindering or forbidding him getting involved in the work there in Colossae. He wanted him to be welcomed. He wanted him to be taken in. He wanted him to be used in the church among the Colossian believers. Think of what he said to Philemon. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So notice that Paul called Mark a fellow laborer. Isn't that lovely? Isn't it touching? Thinking of all that had happened previously. And notice the order as well, because in that list of fellow laborers, Mark's at the start. Mark's at the very beginning. So he was in the work again, brethren and sisters, and he was in the work again with Paul. The final verse that I highlighted was Paul writing to Timothy, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Notice he didn't just say profitable for the ministry. He included himself. Paul says he's profitable to me for the ministry. So the wound is thoroughly healed. Mark is restored into the Lord's work. In fact, he's restored again into missionary work. It's also interesting that Mark also labored with Peter. He had a very close relationship in his service with his father in the faith. Think of the words, we highlighted them last week. Peter said, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." So notice that Peter ministered in Babylon. He's sending greetings. "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you." So Peter's laboring in Babylon, and I want to stress that's actual Babylon. It's not referring to Rome. There's no cryptic message there that the Bible's saying one thing but means another. At that particular time when Peter was writing his first letter, his first epistle, he was living, laboring for the Lord in Babylon, and young Mark was there with him. So Mark was on the mission field again. Mark's in Babylon. Mark's in what we would today call Iraq. So he finally did make his mark in the Lord's work, and he finally did make his mark on the mission field for the Lord, his restoration. And what that reminds us, brethren and sisters, is this: our God's the God of the second chance. You think of Jonah, ran away from God, ran away from God's will, ran away from the mission field that the Lord had sent them to. But the Lord gave him a second chance. He got a second call, a second commission. He was recommissioned of the Lord to go to Nineveh and to preach from there. Think as well of Peter, Mark's father in the faith. Didn't he deny the Lord? Denied the Lord three times. Denied the Lord in the most strongest of terms, with oaths and with curses. And yet he was restored. Restored to the work, restored to ministry again. So our God's the God of the second chance. Maybe we're speaking this morning to someone, and in the past you have failed the Lord. Maybe as a result of that you left the work. You're no longer in the work of God, no longer involved in the service of Christ in this church. If that's the case, I want you to see today, brethren and sisters, there's a way back. Just as there was for Mark, there's a way back into the Lord's service again. I want to encourage you to see that this morning. The final thing I'll highlight just as quickly as we can, that's his composition. We've thought this morning of his vocation, his calling. We've looked at his restoration. Even though he failed, even though he ran away, he was restored to the work, restored into the service of the church. But think of his composition. Mark was also given a writing ministry. The man that left the mission field, the man that was such a source of division among the missionary work of the church, he was one of the men chosen by the Lord to write. He was chosen by the Lord to write the second gospel, which is the shortest of the four gospel records, the four gospel accounts in the New Testament scriptures. Mark describes Christ as the divine worker, the servant of Jehovah. The key word of the book of Mark is the word immediately. What a challenge that is. When the Lord speaks, when the Lord gives his command, when the Lord sets forth his call, when the Lord shows you his will, that's how you're to respond immediately, without any hesitation, without any delay. This is the gospel of constant action. It calls us to see in what Christ did irrefutable evidence of who Christ actually is. Can I highlight for you something very interesting? There are those who believe that Mark's gospel is really the gospel of Peter. Mark penned it, but he penned it under Peter's guidance, under Peter's instruction. The late Dr. Alan Kearns would have leaned towards that view. If you have, or if you don't have, I encourage you to get a copy of Dr. Kearns' book, A Sure Foundation. In that book, Dr. Kearns brought a message on every book of the New Testament scriptures. He brought those messages to show the central theme of every New Testament book. It's a very valuable book to have. So if you get that book, A Sure Foundation, and read what he has to say on Mark's gospel, it'll help open up the book for you. Really, this part of the study is a study in itself. There's a little footnote that he gives there at the bottom of the first page by way of clarification on this very subject, suggesting that there are those who believe that Peter was the actual pen man, or it was under Peter's guidance, Peter's instruction, that Mark's gospel was penned. But what I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, today to do is this. Take up your pen for the Lord. Henry Varley, the Victorian evangelist, friend of Moody and Spurgeon, he said that every Christian should witness and evangelize in at least three ways: with your lips, with your life, and with literature. So it's always good to have gospel literature available in your home, your car. Take with you to give out to the people in the providence of God that you meet. But witnessing through gospel literature. And I want to encourage you to write for the Lord. Some of you here, take up your pen and do that. We want to encourage that further in coming days. And even if it's just writing a letter to an unsaved family member or an unsaved friend, someone that the Lord lays upon your heart, write a letter to them to witness to them and appeal to them their need to come to Christ in salvation. I remember when we were in Wales, the Reverend Elliot was over visiting with us. Remember, the Reverend Elliot was my senior minister in those early years in Wales. He often came as the chairman of the what was then the Forward Movement. We were actually listening in the car as we travelled to a sermon of Dr. Kearns's, preached in those words, "Watchman, what of the night?" It was a challenging message, challenging us to be watching, especially for souls in danger. Mr. Elliot was greatly challenged personally by that message that day, just as we listened to it in the car. It brought to his mind relatives that were not right with God. And before he left Wales that time, he sat down and wrote to them, wrote a letter to speak to them of the things of God. So it's an example, taking up your pen and using it. Remember this book, the book of Mark, the young pen man, guided of the Lord, to witness of Christ, and you can do the same. You can take up your pen and use it to witness to your family and to your friends. Even take up your pen and write to the politicians in the days in which we live, urging them to take a stand for the things that are right, for truth and righteousness. Wasn't it very encouraging to see the government U-turn that took place on conversion therapy during this past week? We rejoice in God's intervention. We rejoice in the answer to prayer. So it's important, brethren and sisters, it's an important work in ministry to be seeking to lobby the politic, even our own local politicians, in the days in which we're found. So here's a little of Mark's life. The man who left his mark for God. I'll finish with this. You think of men like Robert Murray McShane, David Brainerd, Henry Martin. None of them lived very long. None of them lived longer than 30 years upon this earth. But they left their mark for God. They left a mark for God in this world that is still felt to this very day in the short span of time that God gave to them. Well, that's the sort of man that young Mark was. That's the sort of life that he lived. And brethren and sisters, let us all strive. Let us all strive to live in that same way too. I urge you this morning as I finish to live and to labor in such a way as to leave a great impact for God in your home, your family, your community, in this city, in this area, and if by the grace of God, even much further afield. Be a man or a woman that leaves a mark in this life for the God that we love and the God that we serve. 526, we'll sing a couple of verses. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth, ere toil end at the close of the day. We'll sing the first and the last, verses 1 and 3, and we'll stand to sing, please. Opportunity to gather with your word before us, to meditate upon it. We thank you for the things that you've shown to us, all that you've recorded in the scriptures concerning your servant Mark. We thank you, Father, that by your grace and mercy, he was restored to the work of the gospel again, to the missionary service of the church. We pray that might be an encouragement to some, even in our midst today. Some who have faltered, some who have wandered away from the Lord and from the work. We pray that they would be restored to fellowship and to service even this very day. Bless and use this message even to that end. Lord, help us all to be the witness that we should. We see the opportunity just to write, and all the modern means have been able to communicate with others of the things of God. Lord, help us not to be careless as we think of the need of souls. We pray that we will be watchmen. Watchman, what of the night? The darkness around us, and the prospect of souls being in eternal darkness. O God, we pray, help us to be busy for the Master. May the zeal of thine house eat us up. So go with us now, Father. Help us through today. Remember the service tonight. Bring out a goodly number, we ask. Bless the children. Take them up and use them. We pray that there'll be channels and instruments in your hand tonight. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember the service tonight? We encourage you to come. Encourage as many as possible. It would be a blessing and an encouragement to all the workers and all the leaders in the bright hours. Thank you.